Luke sets before us the story of the coming out of the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, sets it in the context of all of these political people, right? I mean, it's Caesar, who's the biggest name in all, you know, there's no bigger name than that, right? Tiberius. And then there's all of these governors, there's Pontius Pilate, and there's all the sons of Herod, and who are governors of different areas around in the Middle East there. And there is the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas, and all of these people are listed. And then Luke tells us, but the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Not even in Israel. On the other side of the Jordan from Israel is John. This guy who is eating locusts, but don't worry, because the wild honey makes them go down easier. So there is that. Right? But and just absolutely out there in the wilderness. And of course, the wilderness is the place where you can actually hear God. All of these, all of the courtiers and all of the people of Caesar and all of the governors and all those guys, all of this stuff, there's all this clamor, there's all of this noise, and they can't hear the word of God. Not in the midst of that. John hears it in the wilderness where it's quiet. And the word comes, and it is that he should proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He goes and he makes this proclamation. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, right? Make this path straight in the wilderness. The valleys will be raised up, the mountains will be raised down, the crooked will be made straight. And he's talking about his prophecy is about coming home from Babylon back to Jerusalem, back to the city of peace. And it's a pipe dream that the people in Babylon would soon be able to go home to Jerusalem. And Isaiah prophesies, let that way be made straight. I love that, making straight the way of the Lord in the wilderness. There are so many ways in which we can make it crooked. We are called, in a way, it seems to me in this text, that to actually join in the making of the way. But I have to tell you a story about how hard it is to make a path straight. So I have to tell you the story, not exactly the way I heard it. So, a couple of weeks ago, is when I heard the story, and this story happened a few weeks ago. There was a woman who was at the Chevron station, gas station. You don't know her, but you really do know her. I mean, she's been around in town for a long, long time. She gets work once in a while. She's not really well health-wise. She can barely pay her rent. And sometimes she's had to couch surf. You know her. You know people like her, right? And she's hurting, and she's angry, and she's really got a lot of pain. And her family life isn't great. And she's carrying this. And then, one day, a couple of weeks ago, she does what all of us have done. She decides that she is going to give away some of her pain. She's there at the Chevron station, and a couple of middle school girls walk by. And they are Latina girls. And, you know, when you're hurting and you're angry, you pick up anything that's floating around. And she picks up something that's been floating around in the air that we're breathing. And she runs out and she says to them, now that Trump is president, we won't have to deal with people like you. And they're walking from the church, from the school to the teen center. And as they're walking, she follows them for two blocks, berating them. This poor woman is just trying to, and they are, and they're walking. And then they finally She separates from them. They go to the teen center. She goes back to the Chevron station. As that's going on, two things happen. Those two girls end up at the teen center, scared and hurt, confused, ambushed, horrible. And this poor woman returns to Chevron. And for two blocks, maybe she felt really like, relief. I'm letting go of this. But by the time she gets back to the Chevron station, or at least by the time she gets back home, she realizes that she hasn't gotten rid of any of her pain at all. And she realizes another horrible thing, which is there is no pain so great that a little guilt and shame won't make worse. Mm-hmm. And there she lives in that. And at least one of those girls goes home and refuses to come out of her house for the next week. And this woman goes back to her house and is locked in the same pain. That's half the story. The other half of the story is a man sitting in a winery, drinking wine. And his life isn't going very well either. He's alone at Thanksgiving. Can't figure out why in the world that is. And can't sort it out. His family's not there. Trouble in the family. He's having trouble at work, and he can't figure out where his life is going, where he fits in. He overhears a conversation at the table next door, and they're talking, and a bunch of young people, and they're talking exactly about trying to find their way in this world, right? 20-some years old, and they're all like, it's just a hard thing to find your way in this world and to get your footing and all of this stuff. And their waiter is listening to them and talking with them, and of course, he's a young something too, and they're just they're kind of laughing at it, but talking seriously too. And he says finally, he says, listen, I'm a 22-year-old gay Latino man, and I've had to care for my three siblings for the last 4 years, and I'm still in. And they all kind of, he said it in such great spirit, they all kind of laugh, and they go, oh yeah, you win. Yeah, of course you're going to have a hard time fitting in, finding your place. So, that's happening. Very nice. And then this same waiter goes to the guy who's overhearing this, and that man, something in that conversation triggers him. He doesn't know his place either. He tells this waiter that he should go the hell back home to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And that in the same spirit, and in these next 4 years, we're going to get rid of people like you. And you ought to be shocked. All of that hurt, all of that anguish coming out. And of course, the waiter goes and finds somebody else to wait on that table, which I thought was gracious. And when he goes home, he locks himself in his house for the better part of a week. And that man, sitting at the table, comes to realize that there is no way that he can get rid of his anger. That this wild attack did nothing to solve or to give salve to his heart. And he found that no amount of wine was going to drown the pain he was in. And again, there's nothing so bad that a little guilt and shame can't make it worse. Oh. So, these two people, this woman and this man, who are in such suffering, trying to give off their suffering to someone else. And these two who are locked, who are ambushed and feel afraid and lock themselves in the house. Isaiah and John and Jesus are all saying the same thing. Dear people, we have to make the road straight. If I told you this story and just told you that this was wrong, and his dear sister April, it wouldn't be enough, because that would only be half of the road. And we would be, as I was, like, just so angry and so upset that I would just go away, and I would turn to them, and I would turn away from the people that did this to them. It's not our calling to do that. It is our calling to be with them, absolutely. To stand with them, to defend them, to take on whatever they get given to them. That is part of our task. Our calling to make the road straight. But it is every bit as much of our calling to be with that man and that woman in their pain. Otherwise, the road won't be straight. It'll veer off. Otherwise, we will not all get to the city of peace. Otherwise, we will not, as Isaiah says, we will not all see the salvation of our God. As hard as it is, and as much as we don't want to do it, John in the wilderness is calling us to repent of this taking sides over against somebody else. And is calling us to stand in their shoes, to see what they see, to feel what they feel, to understand why it is that they would do such things, why it is that we do such things when we are hurt, when we are angry, when we're upset, when we're in pain. Make the path straight. In the wilderness, I thought it was really rich that a guy named John Juan told me this story. And I thought it was really rich that in this desert of division that we live in, the Word of God comes and calls us to walk the straight path to the city of peace. And may all see the salvation that comes when God arrives and the kingdom arrives. I want to read this one thing, because I resist this calling, as maybe some of you might. But listen to this by John Caputo. The kingdom of God does not exist, it insists. The coming of the kingdom is not to be confused with a past, present, or future state of affairs. It is not an existent past, present, or future at all. The kingdom does not exist, it calls. It beckons. The kingdom is the folly of an unconditional call. A call to live unconditionally, to offer unconditional mercy, unconditional hospitality, and unconditional forgiveness. It would be mythological and half blasphemous to literalize it as an existent state of affairs, an episode containable in a geographical place or datable in a calendar time. The kingdom comes, and when it comes, and when it comes to the kingdom, every land is holy. Every day is a holy day. Every person, a holy person in the eyes of God. The kingdom of God does not exist. It insists. It calls. And today it calls us to join in making the path straight.